Goldie and Tausch begins now. Negotiations are underway with Davante Adams. Not with the Packers for a trade, but for him appearing on the show.
Oh, okay. What does he need? Some hot sauce?
Of all the things you could have gone with there, you want hot sauce?
Well, he loves tacos. Yeah.
Well, I know, but he's already got... I'm guessing that inside that drive-thru that he's got for a taco establishment that will remain nameless, I'm sure they have, like, the hot sauce in...
Don't you think it would have been a better move to have, like, a food truck out in front of your house? Like, that would have been more believable, right, than to have a legitimate restaurant in
your
house?
So your issue with the ad campaign is it's not realistic?
Well, I figure Davante doesn't want a bunch of people coming in to his house to order a gordita. Well, like, I just don't think that's something that he wants
to do. It's not open to the public. That's not the point of a restaurant in his house.
You don't know that. You don't know that.
Wait, we're arguing about a theoretical restaurant, and that's not even his house. That's like a television set.
What?
Probably.
That's not his house?
Yeah, Jesse, you got a lot to learn. You got a lot to learn about the biz.
I was going to volunteer. Star. All three of us will volunteer to work the establishment in his house for
a
day.
I'm not going to do that.
You can work the window. I'll work the register.
No, I don't want to.
Jason's making the chalupas. We're good.
No, I don't want to. You guys can, though.
I can't wait for Tausch to have that Baskin Robbins installed in his house. So
actually seems easier than what Devontae's got, honestly.
Indeed. So speaking of Davante Adams, Matt LaFleur and I went back and forth a little bit on, was that yesterday? Was that yesterday?
It was
time
yesterday.
Flies by.
Yesterday
about the concept of a number one wide receiver. And I think I may have even interrupted him at one point in our back and forth.
Attaboy, it's fun, isn't it?
I got a great teacher. Here is that exchange.
You've had quarterbacks at so many different points in their careers throughout your coaching career. Going into year three, I mean, it's hard not to look at what Jordan did during the second half of last season and then compare it to some of the struggles he had at different times this season and not know quite where he is. So when you look at where he is and what you're challenging him to become, how critical is year three to kind of make that big jump?
I think I've said this many times, but the QB is going to get the blame when you lose, and he's going to get the praise when you win. I believe that football is the ultimate team sport, and it's not just him. Like, we got to catch the ball better. I mean, we had a lot of drops. I don't know where we ranked in the league. I mean, you guys probably know that, right? Where were we, Spoon?
Last.
Okay. That's what I figured, but I didn't want to say that. Yeah. Not where we want to be. So, I mean, I guess that's one example. I mentioned earlier, you know, I think it's hard to throw when I tell our defense all the time, I've never seen a quarterback that can complete a pass when he's on his back, or very few. So, like, when you're getting pressure, that it's hard to be effective. It's hard. Your numbers aren't probably not going to be very good.
I understand that. I'm just... You know this, having played the position, that is, fair or not, that's what happens, right?
Absolutely, 100%. And I think you got to take it in stride. And that's why you always got to go back to me. I think the numbers tell you one thing, but you got to watch the tape and analyze the tape and see what areas can we get better in. And I think just the one thing I did talk to him about was, you know, just the consistency of his footwork on some of these plays. I would say, and I think he would be the first to tell you the same thing, because there were some instances throughout the course of the season, and specifically in this last game, where the rhythm and timing is especially when you have a rhythm play, whether like quick game, for example, just that left-right footwork that we take, just hitting your back foot and letting it rip. Or if you do take a hitch, you got to find your check down typically or progress on. So I would say that just because I think that's the foundation of great quarterback play is the fundamentals, the techniques, the footwork. And I think we experienced that with him this year, to be honest with you, when he wasn't practicing, it wasn't quite as crisp. So I do think back to the injury deal, like that was a big deal when he wasn't practicing. And just how conscious we have to be about all the fundamentals when we are practicing. So that'll be on the, I would say, on the forefront of our minds all the time. Every practice is just making sure our fundamentals are sharp. And then I think another thing that we could do a little bit better is just, and we probably got to rep this a little bit more, is in our scramble drills in practice. You know, so many times you get used to throwing the right look or whatever, and you're scripting, especially when you're scripting against the defense, you want the quarterbacks to, if they get the look in the game, you want, while you're calling the play, you want it to be automatic. So a lot of times you'll script those. That's why I love our unscripted periods when we go offense versus defense, because you have no idea what's coming, and now you got to play it. You got to play it, the play, you know, just play it out. And so naturally some of those scramble opportunities could come up in those situations. And but that's an area that I think collectively everybody from receivers, tight ends, and backs, we got to get better at.
So I interrupted LaFleur so many times yesterday that I got confused as to which time it was. We'll do the number one wide receiver discussion tomorrow.
You should have interrupted him again.
Yeah, I thought about it. He was rambling.
Pretty windy.
Yeah, and the point being that eventually he got to critiquing some of the actual quarterbacking, right? Like he loves to say it's not just the quarterback. He says it all the time. He says it there. But hey, come on, man. We live in the real world.
I love when you go back to it. You played the position.
Well, he did.
A long time ago for Omaha, right?
He played in college, too.
College. We all know quarterback play, it's hard. And
yes.
It's difficult when you can't practice and you're laboring injuries. And I give Jordan a ton of credit for fighting through it. I am not discouraged by Jordan Love at all. Not even... He did not have the season I hoped, but I think my expectations were higher than they needed to be. If you look at his numbers, yes, he had some picks. He threw more picks than we want to see. He needs to get back to, I think, and find that scramble ability. Like, I think making plays, that was the part that was the most interesting. Some of the improv stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That does need to get wrapped. And when you're laboring with a groin or you're laboring with a knee, you probably are like, I just got to get rid of the football. Part of playing the quarterback position, you don't want it to be all improv, but that's when you separate from being a good player to a great player. Is I got 6 or 7 of those snaps a game where I get out of the pocket and I make something happen, whether it was with my feet or keeping my eyes downfield and making plays. And having receivers that understand that and can do that too, that takes time. So we did not see that this year, and when you take those plays out of the equation, you don't beat the great teams. That's how you win. That's why Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson have found ways to win those games, is that they can do that. They are those talent. And Jordan Love, I'm not going to say he's as good of a runner as those two, but he can definitely make plays with his feet. We saw that in the game. He made a few plays with his feet. When stuff is broken down, sometimes – when you make those bad decisions, it's when you stay in the pocket a little bit too long, you get hit, or you make a bad decision or a bad throw because you can't be on a steady platform. That's why I like the bootlegs and all the play action, because it clears things up. It makes things easier. You get some of those, and all of a sudden maybe you're in a little bit more of a rhythm. Then when it's always 3rd and 6 and you just got to make great plays, it's a lot to ask of a quarterback.
Yeah, and I get all that, and I understand that the – offensive line has to protect him. And he talked about how good Jordan is at the subtle movements in the pocket to avoid sacks and his feel. That is a great quality to have. Obviously, Rodgers had it as well. At the same time, again, this is life in the big city as an NFL quarterback who gets paid $55 million a year and got $160 million guaranteed. You are going to get more praise and more blame, but you're paid to deal with that. And in his situation, like, let's be honest, his accuracy was not what it was or what you wanted it to be. And was that injury related? Was that protection related? Was it guys running the routes at the wrong depths related?
Fundamentals.
All
it's
those
a, it's a combo of everything. Yep.
But it's also him, right? That is
he
part
is
of
him.
It.
I heard that. He is him.
No, I've heard that too. So, again, and we'll get into the number one wide receiver thing
tomorrow. I was just
going
to say, what does that have to do with the number one wide receiver?
Yeah, I set you up with the wrong audio. That was my fault.
That's the way to be accountable.
I was
adapting. You are adapting as a host. Like that.
I was watching a clip this morning. I was watching a clip this morning of Andy Reid getting screamed at by Mike Holmgren for something that Favre did, and him taking the blame for Favre. That was on me. I sent the wrong call in. Well, what the hell did you do that for? When he didn't really send the wrong call in.
So you wouldn't have been able to play for Holmgren, huh?
I don't think I could have played for Dick Bennett, and I love him, right? Like, he would have had to come to my dorm room and say, I'm sorry I yelled at you, Jason, like he told us he would do sometimes. And I love the guy, but yeah, it would have been tough. But I, you know what I would have had to do if I wanted to play? I would have had to change and adapt, because otherwise I'd be transferring, and they didn't have the portal back then. So, again, I think it's interesting because if you start with, oh, he's got to be a more vocal leader when asked what he needs to take a step in, I thought that that answer, while rambling, at least got to some of the things that as an actual quarterback, Jordan Love needs to do better. And those things are not unfair to ask him to do better, unlike the discussion we had with Homer, in my opinion.
Fair.
All right, we need to play trivia, and it is Wednesday, and that means it's double geography.
Double decker trivia. Oh, baby. Up North Joe, Sander. Or is it Up North Jelly?
Jesse, who wrote these category questions?
I am happy to share that for the first time in 2025, we do have an assist from Up North Joe on today's trivia. So he has one set of questions. I have the other. We'll let the first caller decide which one they want, I suppose.
I feel like we need to do a dueling deal where we have Up North Joe asking from, because where does Up North Joe live normally?
He's
East
not Troy.
East Troy.
East Troy. So we need to do like a down south Joe, where he kind of focuses more on the southern part of the state, and any up north Joe. So we have dueling Joes working both of his homes. Does that make sense?
Joe is always receptive to your feedback, and I'm sure he will do that next time we ask.
Why do you always have to fix everything?
I'm like the tool man. Tausch the tool man. Timmy the tool man Tausch. Something like that.
All right. Jesse, what callers do you want for your Up North Joe assisted trivia?
I don't know. Caller 9 and 17 for the last two number one wide receivers on the Packers.
Did you just do what I think you did? Did you just proclaim Christian Watson a number one wide receiver?
Well, didn't anybody else this year, Jason?
All right, caller 9 and caller 17, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776, caller 9, caller 17 to play trivia. Tausch, tell us about Fortrea while we get callers for trivia.
I will. FortreaClinicalTrials.com got you covered. If you're looking for a little extra spending cash, they got some studies for you. Healthy adults ages 18 to 60, BMI 18 to 32. Two stays, 15 nights, 7 follow-ups, $13,820 for your time and participation. Head over to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortrea, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, clinicaltrials.com.
Trivia's next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Ooh! We got ourselves an interesting conundrum. You all right there? Your coffee tastes good?
Yeah, it tastes really good.
You made kind of a face there.
I love a conundrum, so I'm kind of curious.
All right, so let's welcome in our contestants. First, caller 9 was Mike, the wedding DJ. Mike, good morning. How are you, buddy?
I'm fine. Happy New Year.
Were you surprised that Jesse answered the phone? Because it seems like he never works when you call.
I've just missed and been the caller right before the number he wanted the last few times, so it was nice being the right caller.
Yes, indeed. All right, and then Alex in Madison, a first-time contestant. Alex, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, here's the conundrum. Mike, the wedding DJ, and Jesse have some history. They've taken a beat. They've had a meal.
You have a meal.
We have done that, yeah.
The question is, because he's the first caller, you get to choose. Do you want your good buddy Jesse's questions, or do you want Up North Joe's questions? And we will be judging you based on the decision you make and what it says about your relationship with Jesse.
Well, I had my dinner with Fat Jesse, but I want my questions from Skinny Jesse.
Oh, look at that.
Fat Jesse.
Well, he knows Jesse well enough to know that Jesse can take that kind of criticism.
Clearly, yes. Well, Mike is a very vocal
leadership.
Leader.
Actually, when I was at my largest, probably, it was right before I started the program. I got
right
dinner
after
with
you finished
Mike.
The meal.
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah.
Did you guys go to Cut?
No, we went to the Great Dane right before the Great Dane Huddle, not with Barry Alvarez at the time.
Oh, lot of changes since you guys went. Things change. You got to adapt. All right, here we go then. Question 1, Mike, from Skinny Jesse's questions about Wisconsin geography.
Kale is grown in which of the corridors?
Is this which Wisconsin county is the smallest by land area? Is it Pepin, Dane, or Itty Bitty County?
Well, it's definitely not Dane, so it's not the third one ever, so it's got to be Pepin.
Where, Tausch, you know every county
know.
In the state. Where's Pepin?
I was
Pepin?
Just going to ask. I don't know. Where's Pepin County?
Well, you're supposed
I don't
to.
I have no
I don't know. I'll get on it.
I know all
just
74 counties.
There's 72, I think, but.
Except for Pepin, so 71, apparently. So tiny, itty-bitty. All right, Alex, here's your question number 1 from Up North Joe. Which Wisconsin... Is this real?
I think these two are at a meat raffle, and they compared notes.
I do. I think they may have conjured these up together. Up North Joe, question number 1 for you, Alex, is which Wisconsin county is the largest by land area?
Oh, did you look at that?
Is it
I would take a guess. Can I take a guess before you even list it?
No.
You may
okay,
not.
Okay, I won't then. Okay.
Write it down and then reveal your answer.
I did. I just wrote it down in my head.
I just wrote it down in my head. Is it Marathon, Racine, or Wumbo Jumbo?
Definitely Marathon.
Nice. Confidently, well delivered. I love it.
I think I would have said Grant was the one I was thinking. It seems like it's such a big chunk of land.
Hmm. Well, you would have been wrong.
County lines. Okay.
Pepin Longstocking. All right, question 2.
You know what Marathon County's known for?
Potatoes.
Nope.
Ginseng.
Ginseng. The number one producing ginseng.
Legendary.
That was the question.
You guys know I used to put the roofs up on the when we covered because you have to have a certain amount of shade. When you're a ginseng farmer, I went up and I used to work the fields. I don't know if you guys knew that.
Did you have 3 on a tree on the truck you were driving when you were doing that too, or no?
No, but I did run into one of our Eric Gramsey, my old buddy I played with. We ran into a mutual friend from Johnson & Sons Paving last night. We had those discussions. I told my 3 on a tree story last night at the Bucks game.
It's a classic.
Pepin County, Northwest.
Pretty good little yarn.
Near
is it by Poplar?
Near Mondovi.
Is it by Poplar?
I don't see Poplar on the map. But
is there any ginseng there? all right, question 2 for you. Alex. No, we're still on mic, right?
Alex just went. They're both one
Way
for
go.
One. Now we're back to Mike.
Well, it felt like we had a long conversation with Mike as if he'd been asked a question, but he hadn't. All right. Question to Mike. Latitudinally. Which of these following Wisconsin landmarks is located farthest north? Farthest north. Is it Rib Mountain, the Baraboo Range, or Timms Hill?
All right, I've never heard of the last one, so I'm going to guess Timms Hill.
I love the approach you take,
it's up
man.
By Medford. It's up by Medford, highest point in the state, if my
Not
memory serves me.
Not too far from Mondovi, or what?
Let's refrain from any further conversation of Timms Hill until Alex gets to answer his question.
Oh, okay. Shit. Question two, Alex.
Uh-oh.
Where do they make ginseng near Timms Hill? Question two. Which of the following is the highest point in Wisconsin?
Oh, God.
The fact
you
that
hear
you brought
this?
Up the ginseng story and then did it again on the same day is incredible.
It's an ironic deal.
So think long and hard about this, Alex.
I'm just going to start sending Tausch the questions.
Can Which I just hear what the other two options were out of curiosity?
Yeah, sure.
Which of the following is the highest natural point in Wisconsin, sitting at 1,951 feet above sea level? Is it Rib Mountain, the Baraboo Range, or Timms Hill?
It's definitely Timms Hill. Tausch, don't feel bad. I knew that one.
Yeah, there we go.
What a good teammate. What a good leader Alex is.
I feel like we're in Slumdog Millionaire the movie right now because my brother and I, we decided we were going to do the Ice Age Trail hike. We were going to do 4 days. And I know if you guys remember this, I took off and then we did it and it was a huge monsoon of a rain and all the trails were slop and we were going to camp and do all this stuff. We had one of those sweet straws that circulate all the stuff. We were going to live off the land. And we decided early on, and by that we, it was miserable. Bugs and everything else. We cut it short, but we still went to Timms Hill to finish off our hike. We ended up doing like 20-some miles in one day to call it. We were going to do like 10 or 12 at a plop. And we just said, the heck with it. Let's just get done. Because, I mean, it was grease lightning out there in those trails.
How'd your knee feel afterward?
I felt fine. It was tough sledding.
Question three.
Yeah, this is about the Ice Age trails. Then we're really on something.
Question three, Mike. Which of the following accurately describes the location of Lena, Wisconsin? Is it north of Green Bay, west of Oshkosh, or south of La Crosse?
Oh, God. Can I hear those choices again?
No, you may not. Sorry, you'll just have to guess. No, here. Again, Lena,
is
Wisconsin.
Is it less altitude than Timms Hill?
Where is Lena, Wisconsin in relation to Timms Hill? All right.
Who the hell's Tim is my other question.
Which of these accurately describes the location of Lena, Wisconsin? Is it north of Green Bay? Is it west of Oshkosh? Or is it south of La Crosse?
Okay, so I know it's not south of La Crosse, and I think it's near Green Bay, so I'm going to guess north of Green Bay.
I'll tell you what.
Really good deductive reasoning by
very, very
DJ.
Good. Now, That's stop really talking good. Just in case you're going to give away another answer.
Done.
Question three for you, Alex, and an opportunity at a perfect score for you as well.
Perfect week.
I knew you were going to do that, and I was trying not to. Wisconsin is home to one of the largest concentrations of ginseng. No, concentrations of elongated hills that form at a glacier's bed and parallel the ice flow direction. What are these geographical features known as? A little more complicated than what best describes Lena, Wisconsin's location, I might say. All right? Geographical features that are elongated hills that form at a glacier's bed and parallel the ice flow direction. Are these called fens, drumlins, or oak savannas?
Drumlins.
I would agree. Drumlins.
Glacial Drumlin Trail,
Ice Age
I believe.
Drumlin Trail. Absolutely. Yeah. It all comes back full circle, baby.
God, what a great round of trivia. Gentlemen.
That was, you boys, everybody involved. Everybody. Quesh, up north, Joe, Jesse, that is what we're talking about. That's the standard. I don't want anybody to change when it comes to trivia. But that was four people doing a fantastic job of giving us great entertainment.
Totally agree. Great vocal leadership by you, by the way. First of all, Mike, you got all three right. You got four entries. Well done, buddy. Thank you. I look forward to your lunch with Skinny Jesse sometime soon.
Sweet. Love you guys.
And
love you
Alex,
guys.
What a debut. Your first time contestant.
He was fantastic. Absolutely.
You, with a little help from Tausch, even though you said you knew the answer anyway. You also, with all three correct, you have four entries into Friday's drawing as well. Thanks, buddy, and welcome to the show.
Deuces B.
Deuces B.
So clearly, you guys. He may have been a first-time contestant, but he's a long-time listener. Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, that was fun. Jesse, great job with you and Up North Joe, that was fun.
I have a follow-up for you from Up North Joe, who's actively listening to the program as well.
Yeah.
Tim's Hill is named after Timothy Gahan.
Charlemagne?
No, Gahan, G-A-H-A-N, however you want to say that.
Soft H, probably.
Anna.
A logger who camped near the hill in the late 1800s.
Is that right?
Mm. Logger.
I'm not going to lie to you. That'd be a cool thing. That'd be a cool monument to have.
Tausch's Hill?
Tausch's Hill, yeah.
Well, I thought you meant you'd be a logger. Do that thing where you're like spinning it in the water.
Yeah, good footwork. Yeah. Good footwork. Well,
and then afterward, you could go and get make a hearty bowl of soup with your potatoes for sale.
They got those soups for sale at Quick Trip. Everything's for sale. Life is busy. Quick Trip gets it. Whether you're craving fresh coffee, a tasty bakery treat, or a quick grab-and-go meal,
Quick Trip is
your go-to. Variety and quality and fast service. Quick Trip's team is all about making your day easier and better. Clean restrooms, fresh groceries, and everything in between. Quick Trip, they got you covered. Plus, you got free air for your tires. Make sure with it cold out, make sure that's the deal. Nature's Touch Butter, $2.99 a pack. Assorted varieties of the bagels, 99 cents each, or three for $2.79. And chicken, $6.99 roasted whole chickens on Mondays. And today is Wednesday. You get that 8-piece fried chicken or the tenders for $9.99. And you can heat up with those cold winter days like today with soup bags, $6.99 on Tuesdays. Cheese Mountain Pizzas, Thursdays and Fridays, $6.99. Download the Quick Rewards app. Take advantage of everything that Quick Trip has to offer. Order ahead for pickup or curbside delivery. Quick Trip, we'll see you next time.
Whoa, Nelly is next. And I wonder if Jesse can squeeze in some Bill Barnwell gobbledygook.
We got some way more important to get to. Old Jelly on the national stage today, fellas.
Old Jelly on the national stage.
Uh-huh.
I can't wait to hear about what that might look like. That's a tease right
there, ladies and gentlemen. We'll find out all about it next.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Jesse Nelson on the national stage? Whoa, Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Whoa, Nelly
on Wilde and Tausch.
All right, so let's clarify a couple of things going into this.
Jay, I wonder if this was misleading.
I was not heard on a national stage. I will not be heard on a national stage. And I'm not even particularly proud of being heard on the national stage, my opinion on this matter. But it happened, and I think we should review it. Jason, yesterday, while you were catching up with head coach Matt LaFleur for 45 minutes at the start of our show, Evan Cohen, host of Unsportsmanlike weekday mornings on ESPN Radio, joined us. And I shared with Evan that I am in support of his co-host and fellow Packers fan, Michelle Smallman, in now that the Packers have been eliminated, that I would like to see the Detroit Lions represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. And here is how the start of what was the 8 a.m. Central Time hour of Unsportsmanlike sounded today on ESPN Radio on affiliates nationwide.
I was on yesterday with Wilde and Tausch on ESPN Wisconsin, and their producer, Jesse Nelson, who's also a huge Packers fan, is on board with you.
About the Lions?
He's now rooting for the Lions.
They're endearing. What can I
You've
say?
You've now gotten Packers fans to root for the Lions because of the story.
I don't think there's anything wrong with looking at a long-suffering fan base and being excited for them and the potential that they could finally get to the promised land after so many years of heartbreak.
There it was.
Pretty good. I think we've already investigated Jesse's fandom. And this, and I don't use this term often.
Uh-oh.
Jesse's Packer fandom is fraudulent.
Oh, boy. I knew that was the word he was going to use.
I hate that word. I don't use it. If you guys know, people say that I don't use that term.
You don't like the word hate either, but you did use it
just now. I don't dislike. Well, I mean, sometimes it comes out. Jesse Nelson was born a Packers fan. Jesse Nelson was a Packers fan until 2008.
Mm-hmm.
He then gave his fandom away chasing Brett Favre.
Mm-hmm.
I played with Brett Favre, and there's nobody I wanted to beat more than when he was with Minnesota.
Well, you were on the Packers.
I understand, but
it's
a little different. It's not, though. My
Shouldn't
family
be.
Is the same
Shouldn't
way.
Be.
You're a Packers fan, you're a Packers fan. So that alone put me, my antennas were way up on you from the jump when you started producing this show.
I've never liked
and
you.
And you've doubled down on that, and now, while the Lions are not our biggest rival in our long history as being a Packer fan, right now they are the arch enemy. They are the team that knocked us out 3 years ago when they didn't have anything to play for.
Mm-hmm.
They've won the division the last 2 years. They are the belle of the ball. And you're going to root for them? They're the ones that have beaten us down and impeded our team.
Uh-huh.
From going, so I can't get on board. So, Jesse, I have to question whether or not you're actually a Packers fan.
It is.
After I just went through your last 10 years of history as a Packer.
Right. If I may quickly interject, I do. I'm with you. I'm Team Jesse and Team Michelle Smallman. I want to see the Lions get
but you're
to
not
their
a
first
fan.
Super Bowl.
That doesn't
but that's
support
the point.
Cause,
I'm not a fan.
So, I don't know
I'm
if I could
rooting for the story.
Jesse, I don't know if you're a fan of the Packers. Like, I think you're a fraudulent fan.
That's got to hurt.
It does. FFF.
It does hurt. Allow me to explain myself a little bit further. Because in addition to being a great story and feeling for the fans of Detroit after I went there on that cold, dreary
beautiful
January Sunday with half the bars closed in the entertainment district before the game. The one restaurant that was open closed at like 5 o'clock. We had to scramble over there when the game ended to try and get food before it closed. Here's the thing. It benefits the Green Bay Packers for the Lions to not have unfinished business at the end of this season. The last thing I think we want as Packers fans is Ben Johnson coming back, Aaron Glenn
you
coming
want
back.
You want him to go to the Super Bowl and loot and have the San Francisco feeling.
Yes. I want
or
the Lions
NFC
in the
Championship.
Super Bowl.
They can't even
I
get
want,
there.
And then the band is going to break up. Ben Johnson's going to say,
That's
I don't need to come back
though.
To Detroit. That's
Small
part
wants
of
to win.
It. That's all
they
part
want their
of
fans
it.
To feel better. They want to see the long suffering.
You can
I learned
both.
A lesson.
You can have both. Also,
if they win the whole thing, it doesn't matter, Jesse.
For the real rivals, the Vikings and the Bears, how funny would it be to say the Lions made a Super Bowl more recently than those teams did?
And Green Bay.
Exactly.
No, you're bashing your own fan base.
No, I'm not. I'm saying
anybody else having flashbacks to Tony Cartagena wanting the Vikings to win a title?
But this is even more absurd than that.
I'm not even saying I want them to win the title. I just want them in the game. I want Buffalo to win it.
That's not what you said.
No, I don't want the Lions to win the Super Bowl. I want the Lions to represent the NFC.
I think you're more Jason Wilde than you think. I don't think you're a fan. I think you're an observer of this team. You sleep at games. You fall asleep at games. You root for the Minnesota Vikings vehemently for a five-year window. Then you root for the Detroit Lions, who have completely gutted us the last 3 years. I don't know, Jim.
Break up the band. Let Detroit have its moment now that we're out of it. Go ahead and go get there. Get to the game. Break it up. Let us reign supreme next year.
I'm not gonna let this. I'm done. You can't do this because this is speaking of fraudulent.
Whoa,
this is
Nelly!
Searching for a way to explain this away. I got news for you. Ben Johnson's getting us a head coaching
job. He's
going
to be the Raiders.
Whether they win the Super Bowl, whether they make the Super Bowl or not. Okay? So that's one.
Leave
He's going to
no
go
doubt.
Coach Aiden O'Connell or whoever. So to say that you want them to get to the Super Bowl so it breaks up the band, you know, that's like after the fact, after you've caught some smoke now. Secondly, there's nothing wrong with cheering for the story. Don't be bullied. This doesn't make you a bad Packers fan. It doesn't.
No, it does.
It can
his,
be
his
both.
History leads to be that.
Well,
he,
his history
bad
is what the problem is here. Correct. If you didn't already have the Favre incident, you might get some grace.
And the nappy sleepy time.
On 2 hours
another
sleep
layer
for a noon game, and it was in hand. We were taking care of the Washington football team just fine that day.
We're as much as I'd love to continue.
Jesse,
to try
here's
and
the deal. You have taken Jason's side on so many issues on this show, which I appreciate because I want you to be authentic and I want you to have a voice. You have molded into Jason Wilde.
Oh,
you are no longer a fan. You are a story and an observer of what is going on, and that's okay. But don't run from it then. Now you're trying to run back into your little Packer fandom, and it's not there. You're not there.
That's it for Woe Nelly.
That hurts.
J&J, the Observers.
On a national
stage. That could be a
stage.
New pod. J&J, the Observers. No fandom allowed.
The Sports Observers.
Sounds like a podcast to me. More work for Jesse, which is exactly what he wants. We'll wrap things up next. Late, it's Wilde and Tausch.
We're on the Packers.
For me, the next year, this upcoming year.
Because we're on Wisconsin sports.
It's when I'm judging Jordan Love on a lot of things.
Nobody covers the green and gold like 100.5 ESPN.
But it was
worth breaking news, though. Whoa.
Mike McCarthy, the new coach of the Bears.
Guess who has thrown their hat in the ring for Packers quarterback coach?
Steve the Homer True.
Who has been rumored to have had interest before that you don't like?
Dan Orlovsky.
I think Dan Orlovsky is going to be the new Packers quarterback coach. You heard it here last because I just read it from Packers coverage on Twitter. But very interesting.
I think Sean Mannion is going to be the next Packers quarterbacks coach.
I hope it's D.O.
That would be so fun.
Mainly
for
just
us.
For you two to go button heads.
I'll tell him how I feel.
Oh, I know
we'll
you
see
will.
How it goes. All right, now we're even later for that nonsense. But hey, maybe it's not nonsense.
Nonsense? Orlovsky put out a real interesting tweet, too. Knowing your worth and all this other stuff. So the old Hansel and Gretel, I know you threw the poster away.
I did not. I just left
those
it behind.
Those breadcrumbs are leading towards D.O. maybe being the QB coach.
That's it for us today. Have a great day.
A lot
day.
Of
Take
movement.
Care. Be good.
Play action movement out of there.
Miss any of today's episode of Wilde and Tausch? Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on Wisconsin On Demand.